Hey, everybody, it's Stu Smith with another Two Through and After with special guest, former Frogman Jeff Byers of Frog Fuel. We'll talk about his journey going from high school kid wanting to serve in the military to what he is doing now and everything in between. So, Jeff, welcome.
Stu, brother, great to be here. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. So, as you know, this Two Through and After series is basically me just asking you about you. So first question I always like to ask is, like, who was Jeff Byers when you were a high school kid? Like, and what was it that made you want to serve in this capacity?
So, yeah, I was a fairly decent athlete. I ran a lot of track. I played a lot of soccer. I grew up in Albuquerque, New Mexico, and I guess the bug kind of hit me in high school. My dad was a Ranger. He was in Vietnam. And so he kind of gave me a little direction or a nudge in that, you know, look in that direction. And you know, if I'm being honest, my high school was a little chaotic, like those last junior, senior year of high school. I started going to class less than I should and partying more than I should. Probably not that uncommon with guys like us. Yeah. And I actually ended up, it got to the point where I had to spend my last semester of high school in order to graduate, living with my grandma out of state. That's how bad it was.
Okay.
But it did. And then I graduated and I did a year of school at university. I went to University of Mississippi and I didn't feel engaged and I didn't feel alive and I just needed something more. And that's when I went and joined the team. So I went to Buds when I was 19.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice. So, getting prepared for Buds, what'd you find that you needed to do more of? Just what'd you focus on?
Well, I was fortunate that at university, I did that last semester. I took a swimming class because that was my weak point. I could run. I had like the fastest mile in the state of New Mexico.
Oh, nice.
When I was running track in high school. So running wasn't a problem. The swimming was a big problem. The cold water I wasn't accustomed to, you know, like everybody.
Sure.
But at 19, you're able to put up with a lot of bullshit. And I think that's a big part of it. And I think not knowing what I was getting into kind of benefited me as well.
Sure. You know,
just doing it. So the swimming, the diving, dive phase was weird. I had trouble with some of the water stuff in the beginning, but once I got comfortable, it was like something clicked and right around the pool comp time, fortunately, I relaxed and got real comfortable in the water. And, once that happened, it, you know, it wasn't too bad.
Yeah, that's a really good point. 'Cause you know, a lot of people have that moment when something clicks, you know, whether it's a specific technique or it's just one of those things where you just gutted through some crap, right? And you just got through it and you survived.
I think you just say fuck it because I can worry about this and it's not doing me any good getting the anxiety. And
yeah,
you know how high the anxiety is, especially.
Oh, yeah. Every event is the worst event ever that no one ever passes.
Yeah.
That's how they build it up.
That's how you live your life at Buds, right? It's one event to the next, and you're just trying to get through the very next one every day. You're doing that three or four times. So,
yeah, absolutely. So you would say that moment around pool comp was when everything kind of clicked for you and figured out, hey, I think I got this.
Yeah, I was really, you know, having some doubts about. And that's a big evolution for people that don't know that. Not Hell Week, you're probably gonna, you know, get dropped or something's gonna happen in the pool comp.
Yeah, they call it OC8 now. So open circuit 8.
So okay.
Yeah, they don't even call it pool comp anymore. They call it OC8.
What's the 8?
Like the 8th session of open circuit.
Oh yeah.
You kind of build up to.
Yeah, that shows you how much
things change.
Yeah. And I don't know. Fortunately, something happened. Or I don't know if it happened, but I just got really comfortable in the water. And you know, it went from that very first or second day in the pool on the tanks when I'm like shooting up through the surface in 4 feet of water because we're trying to do the buddy breathing. I'm like, oh man, I'm in over my head, and I don't know.
Had you ever done scuba diving before?
No, never.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. A lot of people have never put a regulator in their mouth until second phase buds, which I never did. I started scuba diving when I was 12 years old. So that was,
yeah.
I can't say I had an easy time doing it, but I thought it was beneficial.
I'm sure that was, yeah, helpful for sure.
Yeah.
Or it could be one of those things where you think you know, and you've done it in one environment under certain conditions, and then you're putting that one, and it, you know, it's,
yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Different animal, you don't know.
But. Absolutely. So, any funny stories from buds you come to mind?
Funny.
Like to share.
I mean, buds was honestly for me, it was fun. I liked it. It was you just laughed at the. I think it was a coping mechanism. You laugh at how
absolutely
stupid and how ridiculous some of the stuff is. Like you're just up all night, you're wet all the time, and you just have to laugh about it. And you laugh, and then if the guys around you can kind of do the same thing, it takes a lot of the pressure off of you, I think.
Absolutely. Gotta have a sense of humor.
Yeah.
It can be some of the funniest times of your life if you have a sense of humor. You know,
yeah.
If you take things a little bit too seriously, it beats you down hard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it was, funny shit happened in there. And I'm dating myself, but it was like 20, that was like 25 years ago for me now.
Yeah. So mid 90s.
Yeah. 96.
Yeah.
But you know, great guys. I did that swim up in New York City this weekend, and one of my good friends from my buds class, and I hadn't seen him since, was up there for the swim. So it was great. And I was like,
oh, that's a great little reunion.
Yeah. It's like, we had never
checked that out.
Sweet.
That's cool.
Sean Brennan. I don't know if you know Sean, but he's out there on the East Coast.
Gotcha.
That kid was a badass. In our buds class, he was the fastest runner, the fastest swimmer, the fastest oak horse. And he graduated buds twice, this kid.
Wow.
Whole thing. And he had some issues. And he had to do it twice.
Damn.
Everything, Hell Week, all the way through. But
I have nightmares about that. I mean, I still get like little nightmares. I go to sleep of like, I got to repeat buds again. And it's like, I couldn't imagine.
I know. Or in your head, you're thinking like, I'm too old to be doing, why am I doing this now? I'm too old for this. Yeah. I think sometimes like, what? And then you wake up and like, thank God I don't need to be doing that right now.
Exactly. So after Bud, you went to what SEAL team?
I was at SEAL Team 1. So I stayed on the West Coast. Yeah. And I did a few deployments there. And that's some of the very best memories of my life, the best experiences of my life, the best friends of my life. I don't have a bad thing to say. It'd be hard for me to pick anything negative to say about my time in the teams, really.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, I know you had a different route later on, especially after your second deployment in the SEAL teams. When did you decide to make that transition from SEALs into other government agencies?
Yeah, so it didn't exactly work like that. So this was pre-9/11 for me, mm-hmm. and I had a son at the time who is going to be graduating college this semester now.
Nice.
The next semester. And I just... It seemed more like something fun. And there was no war at the time. So I wanted to do something else. I got out, my wife and I married at the time, moved to Phoenix. And initially I was a police officer in Phoenix. And I did that for a very brief period of time, about 2 weeks after the academy. So 9/11 happened. And then I got picked up on the intelligence side. And I was a contract officer over there. since 2002.
Wow. And you said you just finished a recent deployment. So you've been active with that for 2 decades almost?
Brother, I've been doing that for 18 years.
Damn.
And I got like 50 deployments in that neighborhood. I lost track.
Wow.
And again, different, you get guys from all the other all the soft backgrounds together, but it's the same thing, you know, good guys, generally good times. There's a lot more politics and stuff on that side, but
sure, yeah. Man, that's impressive. That's some impressive. I won't bother asking questions about those, that world, because that is, super secret, sensitive world, but we can move on to what you're doing now, because I find this really interesting, because you have really made quite the transition into commercial world.
Yeah, well, I appreciate that. It took some time, and so the deployment was part of that. I got to, I was deploying so often, and it happens to a lot of guys in that line of work. You'll go through relationships, and because you're gone all the time, it's stressful on all aspects of your life, really.
Yeah.
And so there came a point where I'm like, I got to figure something else out here, because you're having a great time. It's kind of a selfish endeavor, really. But you have a kid, and you got to provide, and just be a man and do what's right. So. At a necessity, Alex Coons, and Alex and I did my second platoon together at Team One, and we were always friends, real competitive. He's super athletic, and we have similar interests, motorcycles and Scott, everything. So I had a friend from my 1 year of university, it's funny how things work, who was doing medical sales, and he had this liquid protein product. And they were selling it to hospitals for all kinds of stuff, dialysis and chemo, wound healing especially.
Oh, nice.
So he's like, hey, we got this great product. We're trying to get it into the military, do some stuff with it. Excuse me. Mm-hmm. So he reached out to me and then I talked to Alex about it. And it started out as a licensing agreement. So the medical food existed. We took the formula, the Stanford PhD biochemist made it, and just the nicest guy in the world. He's the head of chemistry down at Weber State in Utah. So we licensed it, same formula. We're making frog fuel. And this is, I guess this gets into the part of, we just pulled the trigger. We didn't really know what we were getting into. I'd never started a business. It happened because it needed to happen.
Sure.
I need something else because I don't want to be 60 and carrying a gun.
Right.
And telling stories at the VFW because I don't have a wife or a family or anything. But so out of necessity, we just jump into this, really kind of new to it. Alex was an IT nerd. So he got out and then he was working for Semper Energy. He was pretty high up doing all their cybersecurity stuff. So we're doing this. It starts out as a part-time endeavor. I'm going back and forth overseas. Alex is working full-time at Sempra. And we're just grinding along for like 2 years. This goes back to the inexperience, but also not giving up, because the economics of what we were doing didn't make a lot of sense. We had a great product, but the way it was structured, we were having to license it from this other company, and we had all of our overhead. It was just killing. We weren't getting anywhere. So for a couple of years, that's how we existed, just hand to mouth. I'm still having to go back and forth. And then I don't know if it's good luck or bad luck, but the medical company just does this really boneheaded move, and they had a trademark on their product. It was called Provide Gold. So one of the founder's friends sees a multivitamin in a store, and it's called Provide Daily. Just innocuous, unrelated vitamin, but it's still in the health arena. So, well, I'm sorry, the guy who sees it is also the attorney for this company. So he's like, hey, we need to file some kind of enforcement against these guys. They're using our name, cease and desist. So that's what they do. And turns out the parent company, right, it's this insignificant vitamin. So this can be a lesson for everybody. Pick your battles.
Yeah.
But the parent company is like a $500 million company. Okay, well, we're going to litigate this until we just burn you guys down. And that's the road that they headed down, and they couldn't afford it. So Alex and I, at that point, we raised some money through our family and ourselves, and we bought out the medical side, and we had to change the name. And that's, so we got Protea Gold now. This is the medical food.
Yeah, I saw that. Yeah.
Yeah. So we own that. We got rid of the licensing agreement. So our economy, you know, the margins increased immediately, and we had to rebrand it. That was part of the deal with the settlement with the lawsuit. And you know, that was, and then that kind of changed everything, but it was just hanging in there. And, you know, quite honestly, there's a little bit of a luck involved.
Well, you make your own luck. That's for sure. Yeah. And yeah, by mainly hanging in there, not giving up.
If you work hard, you know, good luck, good things tend to happen. So
yeah, let me share the screen here and show what we're talking about here. So this is your website, Frog Fuel.
Yeah, yeah. That's
and this is what they come in. About how many grams of protein are in these?
So it's 15 grams in that one. That the one on the right's the pre-workout and the endurance fuel, but it's
okay.
Yeah, it's a collagen-based protein, so it's different.
Oh, I've had it. I ordered some a while back ago. It was really good.
I appreciate
really
it.
Really helpful, yeah.
I'll send you some more.
Yeah, oh, well, sure. Thanks.
So the collagen, the way it synthesizes, and the research is pretty clear on this, but at 15 to 20 grams is where it peaks in terms of stimulating collagen synthesis in your body. So That's why the dosage is what it is. Collagen's a lot higher in certain amino acids than whey and the other proteins. And that's why it's really good for your connective, all your tissues.
Right.
But like proline, glycine, and arginine are the big ones that it's incredibly high in. And that's what stimulates the collagen synthesis. So that's why the dosing is what it is. And yeah.
Yeah, it looks like you really got some triathletes really digging this. I mean, that makes a lot of sense. You know, for how easy it is to, you know, grab that. I remember just having them in my car after workouts, you know, because it was going to be a little while before I got home to eat something. And it was a good little, you know, kickstart for recovery for sure.
Yeah. So in that, the protein one's got no carbs, no sugar. So every calorie's from protein. If you're keto, whatever you're doing,
you know,
it's not going to affect that. And the other one, the ultra, the pre-workout and the endurance fuels. So if you think of a goo, which is just sugars,
yeah,
you know, carbs, that's a lot different because it does have protein. It's got less protein, but it's got carbohydrates, it's got beta-alanine, citrulline malate, and it's a very well-balanced fuel.
So what's the difference between the Frog Fuel and the Protea Gold?
Very little. So the Frog Fuel on the left there, the far left, the power protein and the Protea Gold are nearly identical. The Protea Gold has a little more arginine, but other than that, they're the same.
Okay.
And they, gotcha. so it's a medical label. So hospitals aren't going to use Frog Fuel. They're going to use
Right. Well, that's pretty impressive that, you know, it is being used as it is in the medical community. Cause that's kind of the differentiator with most supplement plans programs, you know,
because I mean, the Protea Gold is a medical food. It's digested fast. It's faster than anything else. 100% digestion under 15 minutes. We've proven that.
Nice.
It heals wounds. And that's a big part of the medical application. So especially like nursing homes or diabetics, people who get pressure injuries or
bad wounds,
wounds that won't heal. Yeah. It'll heal them. I mean, we've had customers who have had wounds for 2 or 3 years that haven't healed, and they take it and they see like 11 centimeter wounds. I had a lady last week had healed up in just a matter of months.
Nice. Nice. Man, I just learned something today. Cool. Yeah. And you got these shirts, Outperformance Squared. What's that mean?
So Outperformance Squared, that's it's just kind of OP2 is the parent company that makes, that's what Alex and I, that's the company, Op2 Labs.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay.
So it was like the after, like, no, the second op after the, after the deployments. So
I like it. That's cool.
Little pun.
Yeah. And I originally found you on social media. So you have.
I hate social media, honestly, but maybe Alex Frog Fuel. So.
You know what? That's where I found you on. Yeah. It seems like, you know, on Instagram, you know, people, we tend to gravitate towards the same world. We tend to follow the same people. So let me just share this if you're guys are interested in. Man, what the hell I do with it? I thought I had it up here, but maybe I don't.
You got the Instagram up there.
There we go. Instagram. There we go.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Up there.
A good friend of ours and one of our employees runs this. But, yeah. And there's Al.
Yep. Excellent. Nice. Yeah. That's always cool stuff. Pulling trucks.
That dude's a badass. He's got 4 or 5 Guinness World Records.
Oh, I saw that. Yeah. You got some great guys and gals using your stuff there. So it's definitely impressive. Oh, I like that. Cool. Now you can get this at grocery stores too.
You can get it at HEB, Tom Thumb, United Supermarkets. Yeah, it depends.
Okay. Mm-hmm. That's cool. Nice. Nice. So what's next for Frog Fuel?
We just got to grow this thing and just build the business. So I don't have to go overseas and it's, you know, it was a grind, bro. It was such a grind in the beginning, you didn't know, but you don't want to quit. Right. Cause we're taught, I'm not going to fail this. So I think that was part. I mean, had we known what we were doing, we probably wouldn't have gotten into it to begin with, but thankfully we did. And we're where we are now. We're just going to keep growing it, brother, and, you know, try to help as many people as we can and support the community and guys like you. And
yeah, I'll tell you what, for a fitness community, you got the medical community, you have guys still doing ops, you know, you need that boost, know, and sometimes you don't have time to open up a whole MRE. You know, you just.
Well, as you get older too, your body, so it produce less collagen. Collagen's the most predominant protein in your body.
Yep.
And it's, you know, 60-80% of the protein in all your soft tissues. And now we know that those, given the right amino acids, like our product, they will synthesize protein. So your cartilage, your tendon, your ligaments, they will synthesize and turn over proteins as fast or faster than muscle.
Nice. I think I'm just going to keep packs here, you know. Yeah, just steady packs. No, I support all veteran companies, so
We do too.
You'll see my orders come through.
Yeah, I mean, we know how, you know, getting out of the military, and I don't know about what your experience was. I mean, was it when you left, did you know what you were going to do, or did you just kind of, did you have a plan? Cause I didn't necessarily have a plan when I got out.
No, it kind of evolved. And, you know, I knew I wanted to do something in the fitness world, just didn't know what it was going to be. And so I kind of created this genre that we now call tactical fitness. You know, back then it was, I was doing military, law enforcement and firefighter training. And it just kind of evolved, and my writing evolved with it. But no, I didn't really know. And, you know, and I think probably like yourself, that transition of going out, you lose a lot that you don't realize. You lose your professional group. You lose your, you know, status to a degree. You lose your social group. Yeah, you know, I moved to a different
identity too, right?
Because you lose a little bit of everything. And, you know, and I remember trying to make new friends when I was out, and it just wasn't the same. You know, I'd set up, you know, hey, yeah, let's go do something. I'll meet you over here at 6:00. And, you know, no one's on time. You know, everybody, it's just a mess. You know,
harder to relate for me. It was harder to relate to them.
Oh yeah.
I'll give you a good story about, I had just gotten back from a trip. I don't know, somewhere on a deployment, and my son had a soccer game. He was like 10 at the time.
Yeah.
Phoenix. And there was, it was an aggressive, like, physical game. And my kid's team ended up winning by a goal or something. And the other team was pissed after the game. And the kids were going through, like, shaking hands. And one of the parents starts yelling at one of the other kids on my son's team. Like, a grown man. And he's cussing. And I'm like, oh, fuck this guy. And so I go out there and I'm like, hey, you want to pick on somebody your own size? You know, and I'm like, I know. And then a couple of their other parents come out and it gets into this yelling thing. And I turn around and every one of the other parents, like, they got their tail talked. It's crickets. They're over there like, oh my God. It wasn't even my kid. And I'm out there. I'm like, but that's how that mentality is. Like, had I been with the SEALs or the guys from work, like, everybody's,
oh, would have been right behind you.
Yeah.
They'd have been looking for that one.
Not the case always.
Yeah. Well, that is definitely, that's definitely a mess, but it's also, definitely, a good way to explain the transition and the different relationships that you sometimes are forced to make, when you're transitioning out and away from that community again, it can be somewhat challenging.
It's a different attitude, mm-hmm. I think.
Yeah.
At least in the spec ops side.
Yeah. You know what I did? I created a program here. It's just a free training. They're my workout. So one day I was working out at 6 a.m. Uh-huh. And I saw these kids trying to learn to practice the combat swimmer stroke. You know, they were both trying to go to Buds, and I just happened to bump into them, and I said, let me show you how I do it. And I just said, I'm here every day at 6. And then they brought buddies, and then they brought buddies. And then next thing I know, I got a 6 a.m. workout every day with a bunch of kids.
Did any of them go to Buds?
Kids that want to go spec ops. Yeah, they all did.
Oh, hell
and,
yeah.
And yeah, it was pretty cool. And then, so I just now have this group that I call Heroes of Tomorrow, where I train kids for free that want to serve. Uh-huh. It's very similar. You know, they're basically the same conversations as I had when I was their age, but just with people with different faces, you know, and it's just the same type of people that I have found. And one, they're 20 years old and they give me hope for the future, but you know, it kind of created my own little community that I think I was missing so much.
So do you stay in touch with them after they graduate? You still?
Oh yeah. Yeah. Guys, yeah. In the pipeline, through the pipeline. I got guys retiring after 20 years.
Your own fire team.
Team life. So, yeah, it's pretty fun. If it
ever falls apart, you got your own full squad.
Yeah. So, yeah. So, like I said, I missed that community of folks. And, you know, you almost have to find a way to create it for yourself. You know, like,
you're exactly right. Yeah, you sold. Yeah.
Create this company that you now have all these great people with a like-minded mission, and you know, it kind of puts you back on track.
So. Absolutely. No, that's key, I think. And if guys are listening and getting out thinking about it, I think that's important. It would be hard, at least for me, I don't know about you, but to go in, and Alex did it. He struggled at Sempra. I mean, he was making good money over there, but it was a corporate job, and the camaraderie was completely different. So,
oh yeah,
think about what you want to do and who you want to associate with, and you know, you got to be honest with yourself too, because like Alex was making a lot of money, but he wasn't happy at all.
Yeah, that's a good point.
But now he's making less money, but the company's growing. We're doing much better, and yeah, he's happy. We're all happy. You know, 90% of the time, Alex and I get along great. But like team guys, 10% of the time, like just yesterday, dude. Oh, I haven't talked to him in about 24 hours because we're upset with him. But
that's funny. Yeah, that figures. So, where are you located out of? Where is Frog Fuel headquarters?
Well, the corporate office is in Dallas.
Okay.
We're kind of spread out. I live in Idaho. I'm up in Boise.
Okay.
The warehouse is in Mississippi. And that's the same facility we had when the medical company existed and the employees down there.
Okay.
Kept that in place. We moved the office to Dallas where Alex is. He was out in San Diego. He relocated out there. And yeah, I mean, we can do a lot of it virtually, you know.
Yeah, now sure.
You can realize how easy it is to connect like this and the Zooms and everything.
Absolutely.
So not always ideal, but it makes it feasible. Yeah.
That's cool. So I saw on a recent, I guess it was a press release that you had, that you guys are teaming up with, maybe not teaming up, but you had a investor come in, guy, Shopify guy, was that it?
Yeah, Dan Winan. He was one of the co-founders of Shopify.
Tell you what, I have a Shopify store. Love that thing. That thing is huge for business.
Yeah, if you want to set up a commerce site,
that's
where you want to do it. Definitely.
Yeah. Definitely links social media with it and everything. And it's just so easy.
Yeah. Dan's a really sharp guy, very analytical, very helpful with, he's a very thoughtful person. Like everything is deliberate with him, where I'm a little more emotional and Alex can be too. We're like, oh, let's just do it. Which is why he founded a multi-billion dollar tech company probably.
Yeah, no kidding.
But yeah, he brings a very good value and opinion and insight to the company.
Yeah, I can imagine just with his website e-commerce abilities, it's going to make a big difference. You know, not just, you know, with his, you know, recommendations of, you know, doing that by, you know, but growing it to where it's
good about knowing what the consumer, when they're looking at the like little stuff that you wouldn't necessarily pick up on, like words or fonts or colors and layout, stuff like that. I mean, it's all, you know, it's all important. You get down to granular level, you don't realize how much is really involved with some of that stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, that sounds good. I mean, it sounds like you are preparing yourself for the next level, and love to see that for guys that have spent most of their lives serving in other capacities, and now you're creating other ways to serve a community.
And it's fun, right? It's fun to be building something and producing something and seeing results. Like when you get your students that are graduating and, you know, improving their lives, and or you're helping people get stronger and fitter and recover from injuries or chemotherapy and stuff like that. It's just great to, you know, give back in a different way, I guess.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, that's cool. So where can we find you? It's what website?
Frogfuel.com, protigold.com. That's P-R-O, the letter T, gold.com. That's
okay. Food.
And OP2 Labs is a company.
All right. Well, good deal. So any last comments you have for young, think about the audience here, you know, probably some young guys that are considering spec ops in their future.
Sure. I would say, in my opinion, if you're thinking about it, do it. Don't hesitate, because the longer you think about it, you're just going to instill doubt. And quite honestly, as you get older, it's more difficult to do that stuff. So if you want to do it, do it. Don't hesitate. And just, you have to be resilient.
Yeah.
You don't have to be, you know, you've heard it a million times. You don't have to be the fastest guy. You don't have to be the strongest guy. But you need to be able, resilient. And you need to be able to put up with a lot of shit repeatedly.
That is so true. So true. Hey, Jeff, I really appreciate your time. I'll put all those links that you just mentioned in the description below. Perfect. And this will be up on YouTube, and I'll share it on Instagram and tag you guys and be up on all the places where you can get podcasts, Apple Podcasts and Spotify and all that. So hopefully we can get the word out about Frog Fuel, and Yeah. Help you grow.
Great, Stu. I appreciate it, brother. It was a pleasure doing this with you. And yeah, if you need anything from us, please just, you know, reach out.
Cool, man. Thank you. And thanks everybody for listening.
It us. Yep. Okay. Thanks, guys.